Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Westside. We are currently going through the book of Genesis with Pastor Dave. In today's study, we'll be going through Genesis chapter 41. Through today's teaching, we pray that you would feel encouraged and remembered by the Lord. God has not forgotten about you, just like he didn't forget about Joseph, and he wants to encourage you today, even amidst suffering. More on that now. Let's dive into this chapter with Pastor Dave.
Genesis chapter 41, if you've been with us, you're familiar with Joseph and what's been going on with his life. An incredible story, an incredible character. I've just totally enjoyed studying his life. There's so much to glean from, so much to learn from, so much practical application. Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." How many of you believe that? How many of you believe that your steps are ordered by the Lord? But you see, one of the things we have to understand and realize, and we'll look at this tonight, is that not only are our steps ordered by the Lord, but our stops are ordered by the Lord. And the stops that the Lord has in our lives are for a purpose. It's been said that impatience is the denial of his wisdom. How many of you struggle with patience? I think we all do, right? And you see, the Lord has us in a place of waiting on him, seeking for us to trust in him, to rest in him, during those stops that are ordered by him, those stops that are planned out from him in our lives. And you see, what we have here tonight with Joseph, he's been in jail. If you don't know what's going on, if you're visiting tonight or if you haven't been with us as we've been journeying through Genesis, Joseph has been in jail. Remember, he was charged for raping Potiphar's wife, which he didn't do. And he was thrown into prison. He was there for some time. We don't really know how long he was there, but he's been there for a while there in Egypt. And as he's there, remember, the butler and the baker of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, really king of the world at this time, the most powerful man in the world, right? These guys who were high up in Pharaoh's army, if you would, in the ranks, they were thrown into prison. They were charged for doing something wrong, and they were thrown into the prison. And everything that happened, this was all God ordained. This was all God allowed. And so there Joseph is, and he encounters these men, and they both have these weird, freaky dreams. And Joseph interprets the dreams for both of them. And as we saw at the end of last week's study, his interpretations were dead on. They were exactly right, pinpoint right. And he asked them, he says, "Listen, the only thing I'm asking of you guys is that once you're released, once you stand before Pharaoh again," he says this to the butler because the baker, he's not around too much longer after he's released from prison. He says, "All I'm asking from you is that you would tell Pharaoh about me, that you would plead my cause to Pharaoh, that you would let him know that I'm innocent, that I didn't do, you know, the charges are against me, that I would get out of this place." You see, Joseph wanted to go back home. He had been in Egypt since he was 17 years old. We'll find out tonight. We're going to pick up 2 years later from the event that we left off last week. So he's around 28 years old at this time, at the beginning of chapter 41, at the end of chapter 40. He's been in Egypt over a decade. He just wants to go home. He just wants to go and see his dad. He just wants to go and see his brothers. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I know after I'm gone for a while, after I'm away from home, I get homesick. I like to be in my own home. I like to be in my own pajamas, on my couch, eating my food, and just it's a comforting thing, right? And being with the family, familiar faces, people that you know. Joseph, this young Hebrew boy, I just want to go home. I want to see my family. You see, but the Lord knew, if I allow you to get out of prison when you want to get out of prison, you're going to do the exact opposite thing that I want you to do. I have a design that you stay in prison. I have it designed that at my appointed time, saith the Lord, that I'm going to bring you before Pharaoh. I'm setting the table for you to preserve the nation of Israel, which my Messiah will come through one day. And if you get out prematurely and you do what you want to do because you're sick of suffering, you're going to ruin it for the rest of the world. In fact, if there was no chapter 41 of Genesis, you and I wouldn't be here tonight, to be honest with you. You see, because Israel would have been wiped out as a nation if Joseph didn't stay in jail. And with no Israel comes no Jesus. And with no Jesus comes no me and you, no church. And so there was a great purpose for Joseph's suffering. But Joseph couldn't see it at the time, and you really can't fault him. You really can't blame him. What did he know? He didn't know about chapter 41. He didn't know about chapter 42 and so on and so forth. He only knew chapter 40. And last week, I encourage you, remember, just like Joseph, you and I, we don't know what's beyond today, do we? We only know what's today. And that's why we can't get discouraged in our sufferings and in our trials and tribulations, in our own prisons, if you would. Because we have no idea what God is working out in our lives, amen? I mean, we are going to affect so many people. And how we respond to these situations, how we embrace these situations, really, will determine so much. And so Joseph is left in jail. The Lord, we're told in Psalm 105, verse 17, he is the one who sent Joseph to Israel, or to Egypt, as a slave. It was by the Lord. Yes, we know that it was at the hands of his brothers that he was sold into slavery, but his brothers' hands were in the Lord's hands. So even this evilness that was taking place against him was ordained by God. You see, one of the things that you're going to see tonight in chapter 41 is how powerful our Lord is and how limited Satan's power is, and that even Satan, his demons, and the evilness that abounds is all instruments. They're all instruments used by God to glorify his name. Even Satan and his demons, they're God's instruments in your life. Thorns in your flesh, burdens that you're going through, trials and tribulations that you're screaming to get out of tonight. God says, I've ordained them. I've put them there in your life. I've allowed it. And I think that once you come to peace with that, and we'll talk about it more as we move through this chapter, once you come to peace that these things are God ordained, God allowed, that you then begin to embrace it, that a peace begins to come that passes all understanding. Remember, God never promised to give you a peace that gives you all understanding, but a peace that passes all understanding. And so we come tonight to Genesis chapter 41. Joseph is bummed, to say the least. He's totally disappointed. He's still in prison, unjustly so. And it says, it came to pass, verse 1 of Genesis 41, at the end of 2 full years, that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. That's talking about the Nile River. And behold, verse 2, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kin, or what it would other read, if you have New King James, perhaps it says, fine-looking and fat cows. There were 7 fine-looking and fat cows. And it says that, verse 3, behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river. And they were ill-favored and lean-fleshed. Or the New Living Translation renders it, they were scrawny and thin. So you have these fat, well-favored cows, 7 of them. And then you have 7 scrawny, thin cows that came up out of the river. And it says at the end of verse 3 that it stood by the river, the cows upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and the lean-fleshed cows did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. This is going to be an interesting chapter, isn't it? Let me give you the literal meaning of eat up in verse 4. The Hebrew says that they chewed up, just to kind of give you a picture. So you have Pharaoh. He dreams this dream. Now, it's important that you understand who Pharaoh was and what he was all about. Not only was he politically the top dog, but he was also spiritually the top dog in all of Egypt. And Pharaoh was basically thought of to be God incarnate. He was looked at to be Ra, God incarnate. And so the very fact that Pharaoh was puzzled by his dreams, you see, as God incarnate, Pharaoh should be able to interpret his dreams. And he's puzzled by his dreams here. This is all ordained by the Lord, even Pharaoh's dreams. God's hand is so intimately involved in every detail of your life. Everything that happens, there's not one coincidence. Even in people's lives around you, God is doing all these things, moving and working on your behalf to bring about his purposes. That's what it's all about in this life. It's all about God's purposes. He has his dream, and these 7 fat, well-favored cows come up out of the water. And then these 7 scrawny, thin cows come up out of the water. And the thin cows chew up. Pharaoh has this vivid picture of them chewing on the fat, well-favored cows, and certainly it woke them up. You know what it's like. You have a weird dream. You have a bizarre dream. You think, man, I shouldn't have eaten that pepperoni before bed. I shouldn't have eaten that late snack. I just got agita. I got to go back to sleep. Well, the Lord doesn't allow him to go back to sleep. Look what happens. Verse 5, he tried to do that. He slept again, and he dreamed the second time. And it says, behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears, verse 6, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass, verse 8, in the morning, that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and he called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream. But notice what it says, church. But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. The magicians and these wise men, these were the folks that were very into Satanism and the evil spirit realm. They were very into the magical arts of the occult. These were the same folks that later on, remember when Moses would go before Pharaoh, and he would say, Pharaoh, Pharaoh, you know, let my people go. When he did that thing, and he cast his rod down, and it turned into a serpent, these people were so powerful because of the demonic powers that were involved in their lives, that they were able to match Moses and do the very same thing. You remember reading of this in Exodus. Moses cast his rod down and it turned into a serpent, and they were standing before Pharaoh and they go, that's nothing. We can do it too. And by the name of Satan, they did the very same thing. And then Moses' rod, which was a serpent, devoured their serpents. And so you remember that these guys were in touch with the evil spirit realm, with the evil spirit world. It's very dangerous. Just a side note real quick. As Christians, as the church, to dabble, to mess with those people, psychics, palm readers, horoscopes, any of that stuff is dangerous. And honestly, for the Christian, there's no place in your life for those things. So be very careful. Guard your heart. It's all backed by Satan and his demons. So these men who were in touch with the evil spirit world, they came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh presents his dream, and they're scratching their heads. They can't make sense of it. It says that they didn't know what to do. They couldn't give Pharaoh an explanation. And the reason why is because of this. The dream that Pharaoh was having, or the dreams, they were from God. 1 John 4:4 says this, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You see, Satan and his demons, as great as they are, they are no match for God. They are not equal to God. So even they have their limitations. In this chapter tonight, we're going to see that Satan's extremities are nothing to God. They're absolutely nothing to God. And so they come before him and they can't make any sense of what these dreams were. And they're frustrated. And Pharaoh doesn't know what's going on. And he's probably somewhat embarrassed, as he is supposed to be God incarnate. He is supposed to be able to interpret his own dreams. He's stumped. Everything is being ordained by God. Watch what happens in verse 9. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Interesting. 2 years later, Joseph said to him, would you just remember me when you stand before Pharaoh? And for 2 years, as he was in that dungeon, as he was in that prison, every time a gatekeeper would go in or out, or a prisoner would be released to either be executed or set free, every time that squeaky door opened, Joseph must have jumped for joy thinking, this is it. He remembered me. Probably for the first few months, right? Probably maybe even for the first year. But I think after the first year, Joseph began to lose hope. Joseph, like any of us, probably began to think, I'm going to rot in here. This is where I'm going to spend the rest of my life, in this prison, in this torture. This is as good as it gets for me. I might as well get used to it. They forgot about me. God has forgotten about me. Have any of you ever felt that way before? That God's forgotten about me. He's remembered every other Christian. He's blessing every other Christian in this church, but not me. I'm suffering. Woe is me. I'm going through so much heavy trials and tribulations, and no one else can relate. God has forgotten about me. After all, it's been 13 years. That's a long time, isn't it? Not to a God who's been around from eternity past. 1,000 years is as a day. What is 13 years to the Lord? A few minutes. Really, a few seconds, relatively speaking, isn't it? It's nothing to God. Remember, as I said before, impatience is the denial of his wisdom. God is working. He's never early and he's never late. He's always on time. And so all of a sudden, the butler who had divine amnesia, all of a sudden he remembers, I think I could tell you about this guy. You know, I kind of forgot about him. But I think I remember this guy in prison. Pharaoh, it says, was wroth, verse 10, with his servants. He's telling him the story. And he put me in the ward and the captain of the guard's house, verse 10, both me and the chief baker. Remember the guy that you hung on your birthday? Yeah, him and I were in prison with this other guy, and we dreamed a dream in one night, verse 11. I and he, and we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of the dream. And there was there with us a young man, verse 12, a Hebrew, a servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man, according to his dream, did he interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, verse 13, so it was, me he restored unto mine office, and him, well, he hanged. Exactly what he said came to pass. There's this guy that you got to meet. There's this guy that you got to know. All of a sudden, he remembers him. You see, there's no coincidences here with God's people. Everything that touches your life, everything that's involved with your life is allowed by God. It's designed by God. So that's how you have to live. No matter what it is that happens, no matter how small it may seem, no matter how insignificant it may be to you based on what you see before you, God's doing something. God's behind it all. And honestly, sometimes people apologize for it, but I don't think we should. I think there's a place for it. Everything should kind of be spiritualized, shouldn't it? Because there's spirits behind everything. Ultimately, there's the Holy Spirit, Christian, behind everything that goes on in your life. And that's the good and that's the bad. That's the problem with these prosperity teachers that are all around us. These teachers of a false gospel that tell you that you're to be prosperous as a Christian. You're to be wealthy. You're to have a big home and nice cars and a lot of money in a bank account. And you have all these people who profess Christ that are walking around with their head hanging down because they don't have these things and they're not prosperous. So they think that they're in sin or God doesn't love them and God isn't blessing them, when in all reality, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And it's both the good and the bad in our lives that God is using as instruments to not only form us into the image of his son, but to work in the lives of people around us. Would you get your eyes off of yourself? Would I get my eyes off of myself? Even when we're sick with a petty little cold, perhaps God wants us to go to the doctor because there's somebody there that needs to hear the truth. We never know what it's going to be. That's why we have to be open. We can't be pouting. We can't be sitting there with our head hanging down, weary, because we don't feel great, because things aren't going perfectly the way we designed them to be. If our heads are hanging down, we're not going to see what's in front of us that's ordained by God. God's wanting to work. And you see, God was doing something in Joseph's life here. Perhaps Joseph was still bitter. Perhaps Joseph was being angry. God was trying to bring Joseph to the place where Joseph said, all right, Lord, I'm embracing this. If this is where you have me, if I'm to be doing prison ministry for the rest of my life, then so be it. I'm coming to peace, Lord. I'm coming to the place where I'm at peace, that this thing's ordained by you. You see, there's something tremendous that takes place in your life when you do that. When you stop fighting and squirming and trying to get out of your prison, so to speak, and you just embrace it and you say, God, I'm coming to the place now, I'm agreeing with Dave in my heart, I'm amending him, that I'm just going to come to this place, God, where this is from you. This is allowed by you. However long you have me here, Lord, I'm going to do my best to smile and to glorify your name. I'm going to do my best, Lord, to be used in whatever role that is around me, Lord. I just want to be a servant for you. I just want to please you. I'm not going to try to get out. I'm not going to be like a kid in the back of the van on the way to Florida that keeps saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? I'm going to be silent, Lord. I'm going to let you do what you want to do. There's amazing power. There's amazing release that takes place in your life. There's no more striving. You see, that's where God has me in my life right now. I hate striving, don't you? I hate when you're trying to make plans with people or even your own personal plans and there's striving going on and friction. It's just like, forget it. I'd rather not even be involved. I like when things just flow smoothly and Lord just opens doors and you just walk through them and he closes doors and you just wait for him to open the next door. And I like just to wait on the Lord. There's something about that peace, even if it's not a circumstance that you long to be in, just knowing that you're being in the will of God and then resting in that. There's something tremendous about it. And God had to bring Joseph to the place where, all right, Lord, I get it. I'm done asking other people for favors that are going to stand before Pharaoh. I'm done seeking to get out of this prison. I'm just going to be here till however long you want me to be here. I'm going to eat this nasty bread that they gave me for dinner, these nasty soups. I'm not going to complain anymore. Lord, even if I never see my dad again, I'll see him in heaven. There's nothing I can do about it. This stinks, and I've been righteous, but you know what? If I keep dwelling on that, Lord, and I keep doing the whole woe is me thing, I'll never be able to go forward. I don't know about you tonight, but don't we do woe is me an awful lot? Oh, the burden of the Lord. It's so heavy. And we walk around like that so many times. My circumstances are so difficult. If you only knew, you would never be able to worship God if you knew what I was going through. And you were the one who's going through what I'm going through. Joseph says, not me. I'm done with that. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to seek his face. I'm going to witness to these other prisoners. I'm going to magnify my Jesus wherever I am. Amazing, amazing character. God brought him to this place. The butler remembers him. He tells him about these accurate interpretations that Joseph gave. And in verse 14, it says that Pharaoh sent and he called Joseph. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. What was this like? I mean, honestly, we can just dwell on this chapter forever. What was this like when they came to get him? What was Joseph thinking? He's probably sitting there, not expecting it after two full years. All of a sudden, the guards come to get him. They pick him up. It says that they hastily grabbed him. They were rough with him. They picked him up, and he's probably thinking, what are you guys doing? Where are you taking me? Where am I going? And it says that they grabbed him hastily out of the dungeon, middle of verse 14, and he shaved himself, and he changed his raiment, and he came in unto Pharaoh. The Jews didn't shave. Joseph, at age 30, perhaps never shaved before in his life, had a nice long beard. They didn't shave their faces. So all of a sudden, they bick him. They shave his beard nice and clean. They shaved his head most likely. That's the way that the Egyptians were at this time. Probably put some eyeliner around him. You've seen the movies. And they dressed him up like an Egyptian, and they changed his garments, and they're bringing him before Pharaoh at the exact time that God had ordained.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let it ride and hit the ground.